Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Marco Rubio, Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz, and more. I'm Kay McIntyre, and today on KPR Presents, the 2016 presidential primary elections come to Kansas. The state Republican and Democratic parties will hold their 2016 presidential caucuses next Saturday, March 5th. Never been to a caucus? Not sure what to expect? On today's program, we'll walk through the process with the executive directors of the state Republican and Democratic parties. We'll also get a broader perspective on the caucus system and where Kansas stands going into the 2016 races for the presidential nomination. And later this hour, Kansas filmmaker Kevin Wilmot weighs in on the Academy Awards, Diversity in Hollywood, and hashtag OscarsSoWhite. But first, the countdown to the Kansas presidential caucuses. Clayton Barker is the executive director of the Republican Party of Kansas. Nice to see you again, Clay.
Thank you. Great to be back, Kay.
The Kansas caucuses are just 6 days away. When and where will Republicans be holding their caucuses?
Republicans will be holding their caucuses at 102 locations around the state. Registered Republican voters can attend at any of the location, though it's preferable to go to the one in your home county.
How would you find out where that is?
We have the locations listed on our website, which is ksgop.org, and we're sending out a mailer to about 30,000 households around the state listing locations.
And the time of the caucus?
The time for our caucus is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you can attend any time between there and vote. You don't have to stay all 4 hours. It's just a walk-in, vote, and leave.
Okay. If you want to participate in the Kansas Democratic caucuses, you can just show up on Saturday. But if you want to participate in the Kansas Republican caucuses, you had to be registered with the party by February 4th. Clay, what's the thinking behind the required pre-registration?
It was two pieces. It's logistics is what drives it. The freezing the registration list a month out allows us to buy the list from the Secretary of State, print it off, and get it delivered to all the county locations with enough time for them to react if they don't have a voter list. And the other is we just wanted to take one more task off the volunteers running this site. They didn't have to register voters at the same time and ask for all the background documents that are needed to register in Kansas. It's a great place to catch people that aren't registered, but these events are volunteer run, and we didn't want to burden them with too many tasks.
Is there any concern that that affects voter turnout, that might drive away some would-be voters who didn't think they really wanted to participate and at the last minute thought, gee, I want to go?
There's always a handful of voters that'll call up at the last minute saying, I didn't realize I was unaffiliated with a party. Can I switch to Republican and vote? And we unfortunately have to say no, but we urge them to change their registration for the primary in August. Caucuses tend to attract the more true believers of each party, and they're the ones that'll show up, and they're probably already registered with their party already.
So walk us through the Republican process as it will unfold on Saturday, March 5th.
Okay. The one question we get all the time is, what exactly is a caucus and different from a primary? And a caucus is just an election run by a political party. Primary is run by the state and taxpayers' money. For a Republican, you'd show up sometime between 10 and 2. You'd be checked in with someone with a voter list, either paper or electronic, present photo ID to show who you were. You'll be given a ballot, fill it out, drop it in the ballot box, and you're done. Some of the larger locations will have speakers at the beginning, maybe between 10 and 11, if you wanted to stay around and listen to that, either local electeds or surrogates for our presidential candidates.
But you don't have to stay and listen to all the speeches. You can just show up and vote and leave?
Correct. You don't have to stay for the speeches. You can just walk in, fill out your ballot, just one check mark, put it in the box and leave. If for whatever reason you were not on the voter list, you're voting in a different county, or maybe you registered on February the 4th and it just didn't make the list, you can vote provisional. What I tell the volunteers is anyone who shows up either votes with a direct ballot or a provisional ballot, but we turn no one away. We'll figure that out later.
What if you thought you were registered as a Republican and you're not on the list?
Well, we'd still allow you to vote provisionally, which means we take a paper ballot, seal it in an envelope, write on the outside what the issue is. Those ballots will be mailed back to our headquarters after the March 5 caucus, and a team will go through them one by one. We may call county clerks to verify status, or if you didn't have photo ID, you can send a copy to us later.
Okay. One of the big surprises about the 2016 presidential race on the Republican side is how well Donald Trump is doing in state after state and the ongoing battle for second place. As of today, and we're taping this conversation before the South Carolina primary, we still have five candidates vying for the Republican nomination. How do you think that might affect turnout here in Kansas?
Unlike 2012, three of those candidates have active on-the-ground operations in Kansas, Trump, Cruz, and Rubio, and they are pushing turnout. So that will drive turnout up. On top of that, just the general nature of the horse race and the media covering it and the excitement adds to that, and that the Kansas voting will actually matter. This race will probably be decided by March the 15th. By then, 60% of the ballots will, or delegates will have been spoken for. But I think that excitement will drive up turnout, which is one of the hardest things about planning these, is we have to print ballots. In 2012, we had 31,000 votes. I printed 60,000 ballots, and I'm still worried we may not have enough if there's a surprise surge, or maybe that's more than we need.
So you just don't know how many people might show up on caucus day.
Right. We don't have a long history of this, and this race is just so different than anything we've seen. And for me, we had a Republican Party convention last weekend in Johnson County. Most of the people I'm familiar with in the party, either whether Tea Party or moderates or social conservatives, they like Cruz and Rubio. There are very few Trump supporters, but I know the Trump supporters are out there because they call the office constantly. And it's interesting to me if this is a whole new demographic of the Republican Party that just never coalesced before.
Any predictions for how that will play out on Saturday?
I have no feeling for this one. In 2012, I could have told you that Romney would win the United States or the Republican nomination nationwide and Santorum would win Kansas. I can't predict this one.
Clay, what if you're someone like me who works on Saturdays?
We have an absentee ballot option. We don't want to flood the office with too many because there's only two or three of us working there. Military get it automatically. It's on our website. If anyone wanted to vote and couldn't attend on Saturday, we don't ask for the reason. They can call our office or they can email me directly. And every morning I've been mailing out about 60 absentee ballots. You get a paper ballot, you fill it out, return envelope, and mail it back to us. As long as it's postmarked by March 5, we'll count it when we add in the provisionals the week after.
Primary elections, and I know caucuses tend to be even more this way, have a tendency to have very low voter turnout. What kind of words of encouragement might you have for people who haven't participated in a caucus or who don't normally vote in primaries to try to get that turnout right up there?
Well, I'd say your vote matters because you're correct. The turnout is lower, so your vote has a greater proportion of the total vote. And it does matter this time because the race is still in flux. There's a lot of things that could happen down the road here. March 1st to March 15, there's a lot of states going, so things could flip on us here. Also, just some of the misconceptions. It's free. You don't have to pay. It's open to anyone, the Democrats or Republicans. Anyone can go with the Republicans as long as you're a registered Republican. Democrats, it's a little easier to attend. I just encourage people to get involved with the process. The Republican process is quick. You don't have to stand around. People see the TV of the Iowa caucus and think they're all that way, but they're different. And just a chance to participate in the process. And again, it is party run. It's all volunteers. These are people that haven't run these professionally. We make up the rules each time, so just go with the flow, enjoy it, and cast your vote.
If our listeners still have questions about what to expect at the Republican caucus this next Saturday, how can they find out more?
An easy way is on our website, we have a page that's called Frequently Asked Questions, which if people call in with a question I haven't answered already, I add the answer onto that, so it doesn't quite flow by like a table of contents, but explains the differences, the process, how you go from votes to human beings at the national convention, how they're bound to particular candidates, the entire flow of this caucus to national convention process.
Okay. Again, Clay Barker is the state executive director for the Republican Party. Clay, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
The Republican presidential caucuses will take place from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Saturday, March 5th at locations across Kansas. Later this hour, we'll cross the aisle and talk about the Democratic caucuses. But first, a broader perspective on the presidential race in Kansas. Bob Beatty is professor of political science at Washburn University and political analyst for KSNT-TV. Bob, always nice to see you.
Good to be here.
A little historical perspective. It's actually been quite a while since Kansas held a presidential primary. Talk to me about the difference between a primary and a caucus and why Kansas stopped having primaries and adopted the caucus system.
Yes, well, Kansans traditionally have wanted to have primaries, and I'll briefly say what a primary is in a second. But what's interesting is that every 4 years, at least in the last number of years, they've wanted to have a primary. It's actually in the it was in the Kansas state law that the parties will hold primaries. And then the legislature would say, well, we don't want to spend the money because a caucus is paid for by the parties, and they'd sort of they'd suspend the law for that year. And that kept happening. And finally, this last year, they just got rid of the law. So, but that shows me that a number of years ago, the Kansas legislature thought it was so important to have a primary, they actually put it into law. Now, a primary is what we sort of think about with voting. You go to a voting place and you throughout the day and you cast your ballot and you leave. Maybe takes you 10 minutes. But the key is you have all day to do it, maybe 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. And so primaries tend to get much higher turnout. More people participate. In some states, they'll have what's called an open primary, like New Hampshire does, where they will allow unaffiliated voters or independent voters to choose the party they'd like to vote in and participate in the primary. New Hampshire did this, and Donald Trump benefited from that. A lot of independent voters liked him in New Hampshire. And so primaries are, many people think, are the most democratic way to do it. An open primary would be super democratic. A caucus is run by the parties, so the state doesn't pay for it. And a caucus has much more limited hours. It doesn't have to, but it does. So the Republicans will caucus from 10 to 2. The Democrats in Kansas will caucus from about 3 to 5. Now, obviously, most people listening can realize that a lot of people aren't available on those hours. Maybe they're working. You know, maybe they're doing something else. And so the turnout for caucuses tends to be dramatically lower. One interesting thing is that even in Iowa, where there was candidates for 6 months, thousands, and I don't exaggerate, thousands of candidate appearances, hundreds of millions of dollars spent, the turnout for caucuses was still less than 50% of all voters. That shows you how the caucus limits participation. Some of you may have seen the TV coverage of the Nevada caucuses, Republican caucuses, and even with all that coverage, the turnout is only going to be, you know, less than 20% of all registered voters.
Let's talk about how the race is shaping up on both sides and how that might play out in Kansas. On the Republican side, the big surprise this year has been Donald Trump and how well he's done state after state. Have you seen that level of support for Donald Trump's candidacy here in Kansas?
I haven't seen anything in Kansas. Everything we've seen has been, of course, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. We saw a little bit with Nevada. You know, the interesting thing about Kansas is it's March 5th, which is coming after Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday will feature 13 caucuses and primaries. Now, I should say quickly that the state that can get in those early dates, the Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, there's four of them now. It's a massive benefit to those states. Iowa set records for the amount of money it was able to make. Literally, the state made money on taxes, all the people coming in. Those, actually, the parties up to now have agreed to let those states do that. It's a complicated story, but essentially those states have been driven. I mean, they're obsessed, and it's very smart. They make a lot of money, get a lot of attention. And the states that follow don't tend to get that. But what's interesting is that there's thousands of delegates that are needed to win the nomination, and those first four states may produce only 50 or 60 toward the person winning those states. So there's a lot more electioneering to go. So Kansas, this time around, is important, and I argue it will be important. And that's where I don't want to have this disconnect between super low turnout and the importance of the Kansas caucuses. The caucuses are what they are, but people can still participate if they're registered to vote on the Republican side. If they're not registered to vote, they can still participate on the Democratic side. The delegates in Kansas are needed. You look at a candidate like a Marco Rubio, he hasn't won anything yet, but he thinks maybe down the road he will start winning some states. He'll need those Kansas delegates because it may be a very close race between the top three candidates, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Rubio, down the road. In terms of Trump, you know, he's been doing very well. There's been high turnout. Caucuses reward the most passionate. And so Bernie Sanders did well in Iowa against the odds. And he did well in Nevada against the odds. He didn't win them. But Trump has done well in the caucuses because he gets that passionate vote. And he's been out for what usually is a low turnout election.
Do you expect that to be the case here in Kansas as well, where there's not a lot of Democrats, but a couple of the places that are kind of Democratic strongholds, say here in Lawrence, have a lot of young voters?
I think because Kansas is a caucus, I think Bernie Sanders could do well. Obama easily won the caucuses against Hillary Clinton in 2008. Of course, he was endorsed by Governor Sebelius at the time, and she's now endorsed Hillary Clinton. Caucuses are unpredictable. The polling is very difficult to gauge because we never know who's going to show up for a caucus. Hillary Clinton has staved off the Bernie feel the burn insurgents in some cases somewhat miraculously, both in Iowa and Nevada, which were both caucuses, just by a few points. She doesn't necessarily need to do that in Kansas because she probably will be coming off some big wins in primary states, okay, by March 5th. So she'll just want to have a respectable position. Now, that being said, she has sent numerous staffers, paid national staffers, to Kansas. There's been one working in the Topeka-Lawrence area. She's been to several universities. She just came here from Iowa. So Hillary's not just conceding Kansas, but I do think that Bernie Sanders should do well. Young people are a tough group to rely on. One interesting statistic, for example, said that on March 15th, which is a huge primary day for the Democrats, there's a number of big primaries, it's also spring break. So somebody said, hey, that might really hurt Bernie, and that's a strange but possible point.
Interesting. The Kansas caucuses are what I guess you would call semi-closed. You have to be registered as a party member to participate. As I understand it, if you're a Democrat, you can register that day. But if you wish to participate in the Republican caucuses, you had to register by February 4th. How does that affect voter turnout, and how might that play out?
Well, I made the a joke in a newspaper column that the Republicans, yes, require their caucusers to have been registered by February 4th. And then I joked that, well, in 2008, 3.7% of Republicans actually caucused. And in 2012, 2.5%. So I said, well, they must be afraid of large crowds. And the reason I say that is that if you require your voters to be registered the month before the caucus, you're obviously shutting out some people that might get excited by a candidate visit, by a commercial that a candidate runs, just by the excitement of this wild election. So you're putting in a rule there that I guess is a purity rule. I don't know, to be honest, I'm unaffiliated. I don't really sometimes understand the party politics, but, you know, 1 month, I guess, is the cutoff to where you're a pure Republican. I'm not sure. But there will, you know, if the past is any indication, candidates will be coming to Kansas. Bernie Sanders has been in Kansas City. So candidates will even advertise in Kansas. So it's a little odd to me that you wouldn't want those people that are excited about your party and get excited in the last month in there. But that's the case. So, yes, on the Democratic side, you can show up and change your party, change your address, or actually sign up. I want to add this. When I was in Iowa, I went to the Iowa caucus, observed both Republican and Democratic caucuses. It was really neat to see the long lines of people lined up outside of a caucus. And in Iowa, they allowed, both parties allowed you to register the same day as the caucus, to just show up and register. And it was really neat to see so many first-time voters and first-time registrants, and they're pulling out their IDs and things like that and saying, yeah, I want to sign up to register and vote and then caucus. And I think that's cool. Caucuses are often chaotic, especially on the Democratic side, where the rules are so odd. In Iowa, for example, they didn't even count the actual caucus goers. A little strange, isn't it? And in Kansas, I'm not so sure if they will either, because what they do is they get a head count and then put them in groups, and then they offer them a chance to switch the groups, and then they get a percentage, and then they allocate delegates according to the percentage. So caucuses in 2012, in the Republican presidential caucus in Iowa, they literally lost ballots. They didn't know who won a number of precincts. And there's no law because it's a party exercise. So it's not like a primary. A primary is the state running it, voting machines, all that sort of thing. This is people writing who they're voting for on a piece of paper and putting it in a box, and then hand counting afterward.
You just mentioned about voters, caucus goers, dividing themselves up into groups depending on who they're caucusing for, who they're supporting. Is there something slightly un-small d Democratic about an election process where you have to publicly say, this is who I'm supporting, rather than the anonymity of the ballot box?
Well, yeah, I mean, on the Democratic side, it's wild. Apparently in Nevada, some people were being not attacked, but people that looked uncommitted, the Hillary or Bernie forces would sort of grab them by the shoulder
pull
and say, you need to come over here. Now that people in Iowa say the caucus is super Democratic because it's like an old town hall. People are giving speeches and saying, come over here. And there's a lot of talk back and forth. It's an artifact of the party selection process. The Democrats I've been to several caucuses in Iowa. I went to a Republican caucus. The Republicans are much more orderly. So the key is if you go to the Republican caucus in Kansas and you want to hear the speeches, go at 10 a.m. Go when it opens. Then you'll hear the speeches of the candidate representatives. If you come an hour later, maybe it's all you do is walk in and cast your ballot and leave. The Democrats do take a while to get things organized, figure out who's standing where. And yes, maybe some cajoling. And what they're looking for on the Democratic side is they're looking for someone who just showed up at the Democratic caucus. And then when asked, who are you caucusing for? They're like, I don't know. That's what the two candidates, groups will be looking for to try to convince them. But obviously for democracy, the key in the end is a secret ballot, but not in a caucus. You're right. I mean, there is pressure, not violence. But certainly, we don't call it bullying, but cajoling. And requesting and pleading that doesn't go on with a normal election.
Do you think that many people show up at a caucus really not knowing who it is they're planning on supporting?
Yes. I think a fair number do. A fair number do. There are, at least my experience when I went to a Democratic caucus in Iowa, was people sitting there earnestly listening to the speeches. Same with Republican, because they also do the speeches. So it depends on the precinct, but there is a percentage of people that really do go and think, I'm going to listen to the speeches. And, you know, we're talking party here. So usually many voters will like their two choices. Oh, they're both Democrats. Oh, we have three Republicans. And so really it's a matter of degrees. And interestingly enough, at least in Iowa, they also may see who, you know, their neighbors, or they may see somebody they know or someone they respect. Oh, he's going for that person? Okay, well, maybe that'll tilt the balance. So yes, it does happen, shockingly. In a secret ballot, in a general election, in a primary, you're on your own, but not at a caucus.
Talk to me about how the delegates are divided up. Kansas has how many delegates? How do the parties decide who's going to get what?
Oh, it's so convoluted. I mean, but as a political scientist, I figured I had to know this. So they're actually similar numbers. I mean, of the thousands that are needed to win the nomination, Kansas is very small. But in a tight election, the delegates may be needed. So on the Republican side, you know, this summer, there will be a total of 2,472 delegates. And 1,237 will be needed for the nominee to win. Kansas supplies 40 of those 1,237 needed to win. Not a lot, but you never know. And they're divvied up in by congressional districts. The four congressional districts get three apiece, and then statewide they'll divvy up the other 25 proportionally, and then the three will go to party leaders that are also given to the candidate who receives the most votes. So that's a total of 40. Now, on the Democratic side, again, thousands of delegates needed. Kansas supplies 37. Same process, congressional districts, statewide delegates. But the difference in Kansas and with the Democrats overall is what they call superdelegates. So Kansas will have four unpledged party leaders who get to, you know, it's always fun to have the name something super in front of their name. They're called superdelegates. And they are free agents. They don't have to go by what the Kansas results are. So, for example, let's say Bernie wins Kansas. The four superdelegates might all be for Hillary. Right now, I haven't looked up the numbers, but she has a massive lead in superdelegates. That's where these superdelegates from various states have said, even before they vote, I'm with Hillary. They can change their mind, but that gives her, right now, a big lead in the delegates.
Bob, if I'm remembering right, that happened also in 2008 when Hillary Clinton ran against Barack Obama, and she had a number of superdelegates lined up, and there was a great outcry in the Democratic Party that will we really nominate someone who has fewer delegates on the basis of the support of superdelegates?
Correct. In the beginning, she had a few more than Obama. But they weren't as, it wasn't such an overwhelming difference with her, like her and Bernie Sanders. And some people were worried, oh, Hillary could win when Obama is more popular. But as the race went on, it became much more evenly matched. And that did not become a factor. And Obama went on to win the majority of delegates that were chosen by the superdelegates didn't make the difference, is what I'm saying. What's interesting is the Democrats put the superdelegates in place. But ironically, it's the Republicans that might be wishing they had them. And the reason the Democrats put this in place was George McGovern, 1972, where, of course, McGovern won the nomination. But the Democrats at that time, and as they saw later, he got absolutely destroyed. So they thought, you know, we need a system where, you know, to possibly not have the nominee that wins the most primaries.
It's like an electability factor.
Yes, because in the end, this is a party exercise. So the people listening out there may think democracy and may think the people rule and all they think. Well, yes, but these are political parties. They are private institutions. They used, for example, for many years, the Democrats in the South used to have white-only primaries. They argued for years, you can't tell us we can't be all white. We're a private organization. We're a political party. Later, they opened up, of course. But so on the one hand, where we watch this on TV and think, oh, it's American democracy in action. But remember, the end result is the political party wants to have a nominee who can win a general election. And so those superdelegates, that's supposed to be the check. It would obviously be very interesting if somebody went to the convention who's won the most delegates by winning and then lost by the superdelegates. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think Hillary Clinton is in fairly good shape in a lot of primaries across the nation, at least in terms of how the polling is looking.
Bob, tell me this. If we've got someone listening who's a supporter of one of the, I don't want to say lesser Republican candidates, but not Donald Trump, not Marco Rubio, not Ted Cruz, how might they want to go into the caucus and perhaps be strategic about the way they vote?
Yes. Well, the Republicans have a 10% threshold. So that means that if a Republican candidate in the Kansas caucus does not get 10% in that particular caucus, they will not get any delegates out of that caucus.
And none at all?
No, it's a threshold. Okay. And if they don't get 10% statewide, they won't get any allocated on the statewide basis. So with the 10% threshold, if you are a supporter of a candidate who has been isn't looking good in Kansas, which may be the case, check out the polling. Check out polling for your candidate in similar states. You may want to pick a second choice because your vote will be thrown out if he doesn't get 10%. Because, I mean, you could have 9% for a candidate. That's a lot of votes. And they just get thrown out with the other threshold. The Democrats have a 15% threshold, but there's really only two candidates. So we're not worried about that this time around.
And in neither cases, Kansas does not have a winner-take-all system in terms of allocating its delegates.
Well, these convoluted systems. What happened was both political parties were trying to fiddle around with the whole system. They allowed those first four states to go early, South Carolina, Nevada, Iowa, New Hampshire. Then they said, well, if you're going to go in March, you have to do it proportionally, at least early March. Then starting March 15th, you can do what you want, proportional or winner take all. What they were trying to do was not have everybody want to go early. But going early is fantastic because you get so much attention. So it was a little bit of a punishment to you have to go proportional if you're going to go earlier. Kansas would have been better off somehow trying to insert their caucuses like, you know, it's a leap year, so the last day of February, right before Super Tuesday.
You're trying to game the system here.
Yeah, make a little money. Instead, March 5th isn't bad. It could be worse. But coming after Super Tuesday, it's not the best. I mean, the best spot would have been, if you can't go in those first four, the best spot might have been the very end of February.
Okay, Bob, we've got time for just one last question.
Yes.
Any last advice for Kansas caucus goers?
The turnout for Kansas caucuses has been horrible, horrible. Less than 5% generally. Not always, but around that. That's just very, very low. There's a lot of reasons for it, I understand. But this is an interesting year. If you're a Democrat, I really have to ask you the question. You don't think the race between Hillary and Bernie is interesting? Now's the time maybe to take a look at the candidates, make a choice, and show up and see what other people are doing. And if you just want to have fun on a Saturday, if you're a Democrat, say you're uncommitted and see if people will tackle you or something. On the Republican side, I don't have to say too much about what's going on with Trump and everybody, but participate. This year, more than other years, your caucus vote will have an impact because the fight is so intense, especially on the Republican side, for every single delegate. So go out there, have some fun with it. If you, you know, as I said, if you really want to have some fun, on the Democratic side, declare yourself uncommitted, and you'll have instant Bernie and Hillary friends surrounding you, at least for a few minutes.
Again, Bob Beatty is professor of political science at Washburn University and political analyst for KSNT-TV. Bob, thanks so much for coming in.
Good to be here.
I swung the election, friend. That's no small order. To just blow nose and sweep all the votes from Canada to the Mexican border. I started out with a bang, blow the Dixie line. My opening shot was burning hot, and every single vote was mine. From there I swung westward, taking every state in my stride. My bandwagon swinging, everybody started in to ride. I won every town and state without exception. My friend, I swung the election. Now to give you some idea of the reception I was accorded, I took a sound man along with me and had these scenes recorded. I save my best to the last. I'll give you just the highlights of this, my farewell blast.
I Swung the Election by Jack Teagarden. I'm Kay McIntyre. You're listening to KPR Presents on Kansas Public Radio. Today on KPR Presents, the 2016 presidential caucuses, which will take place next Saturday, March 5th. Earlier this hour, we heard about the Republican caucuses from Clay Barker, executive director of the Kansas Republican Party. Now we'll cross the partisan divide and talk to Kerry Gooch. He's the executive director of the Kansas Democratic Party. Welcome, Kerry.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Kansas Republicans are meeting from 10 until 2 o'clock next Saturday. When and where will the Democratic caucuses be held?
Sure. So the Kansas Democratic Party's caucuses technically start at 3 o'clock. Most location doors will open at 1 p.m., but you must be there by 3 o'clock to participate. We're hoping to have everybody checked in by 3 o'clock. We know some locations will be a little bit larger, but as long as you are in line and at your caucus location by 3 o'clock, you will be able to participate. Now, if you show up after 3, you won't be able to participate, but you still will be able to watch the caucus and see what happens.
And how do you find out which location is the right one for you?
Sure. So the Kansas Democratic Party's caucuses are set up by Senate districts. So each Senate district has a caucus location in it. The easiest way to find out what your caucus location is to go to our website, www.ksdp.org. And on our website, we have a list of where to caucus. So if you know your Senate district, you can go click on that list, and it actually will show you a map of exactly where your caucus location is. Also, if you don't know what Senate district you're in, there's a button that you can click and type in your address and type in your name, and it'll tell you exactly what Senate district you live in as well.
If you wish to participate in the Kansas Republican caucus, you had to register as a Republican by February 4th. How about the Democratic caucus?
Yeah, so the Kansas Democratic Party is really focused on making sure as many people can participate in our caucuses as possible. You know, we believe the more people that come out to our caucuses, the better representation Kansas has in the political process. So actually, the Kansas Democratic Party, you can actually show up to your caucus location and register on site. We're encouraging people to bring their proof of citizenship documents, but even if you do not have those, you can still show up and register and participate, and we'll work on following up with you after the caucus to track down your registration information.
But your participation, it still counts.
It still definitely counts. Still definitely counts. And it's, like I said, we'll work with you afterwards to make sure we get you fully registered.
So, Carrie, walk us through the caucus process as it will unfold next Saturday, March 5th.
Yeah, so the Kansas Democratic Party's caucus is one of the funnest experiences you will ever find in Kansas politics. You know, you will show up to your caucus location, and after getting signed in, you will basically go into most locations a big room. Once you go into that room, you'll first be allowed to sit anywhere you would like in the room. And then the caucus chair, which each caucus location has a designated chair, will open up the caucus. And then they will allow speeches from one representative from each campaign. Each of the presidential campaigns have designated a representative for each caucus location that will give up and kind of give a rally speech behind their candidate at the caucus location. And then the caucus chair will get up and separate the room into presidential preference groups. So basically, they'll say, if you're voting for candidate A, go to this side of the room. If you're here to caucus for candidate B, go to this side of the room. Or candidate C, go to this side of the room. And then that's where really all the fun begins, because you'll have people start chanting and yelling and trying to convince people to come to their side of the room instead of another side of the room. You know, and you have lots of people that show up that are undecided, that still don't know necessarily who they want to caucus for. So it'll be another great opportunity for them to hear more from people that are participating in the caucuses and pushing for one candidate over another. So as long as, you know, you get there by 3 o'clock, you'll have a chance to hear speeches from both sides and get a chance to make up your mind there on site. And then truthfully, the way it works is we basically count the amount of people that are in each side of the room for each candidate, and the one that has the most people technically wins that caucus. Now, our delegates are dished out proportionally, so it's not a winner-take-all type of situation, but at the end of the day, whichever candidate has more people basically standing on their side of the room wins that caucus location.
And do people go back and forth at all? Like, say, for example, I'm standing in the corner of the room for candidate C, and sure, I'm seeing that we're not really standing a chance.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is a viability threshold, which is 15%. So if your candidate does not have 15% of the total amount of people in the room, then you'll basically have to realign to a different presidential candidate group. We don't expect that to be a major problem with our two major candidates, but you never know. But also, you can be an undecided. Undecided is technically a caucus group that you can join. But if your undecided group does not have 15%, you will have to align with another candidate. But yeah, there will be a reasonable amount of time given for people to change their mind. You know, before we set the final numbers, you know, there'll be time for people to, you know, maybe even visit with somebody in each of the group to make their final decision before we kind of cut that off.
Carrie, this is proving to be a surprisingly close race, yeah, on the Democratic side, with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders neck and neck for the first several states. How do you think this may affect voter turnout here in Kansas next Saturday?
I think it's going to help it. You know, I'm really excited that we're having such a great race on our side. You know, it's been so positive. The energy for both candidates has been great. And so I'm really excited about it. I think that voter turnout in Kansas is going to be great. You know, I think that the longer this race stays competitive, the better opportunity it is for our Kansas Democrats to come out in droves on March 5th.
Any predictions on how it will turn out?
You know, I think it's going to be close. I do. I think it's going to be really, really close no matter who wins. I think that both of the campaigns have very strong ground games here in Kansas. Both campaigns have had strong ground games here in Kansas for a while. You know, I think this is what I've been told. This is one of the first presidential election cycles that, you know, all of our candidates have had paid staff on the ground here in Kansas, which is really exciting to us and encouraging to us. You know, the campaigns have both done a lot of voter registration, which is going to pay large dividends for us, you know, in November.
Some people might feel a little bit uncomfortable with the whole business of publicly announcing which candidate they support. Do you have any advice for the would-be voter who's maybe a little shy about his or her politics?
Yeah, no, I think that if you show up, when you show up to your caucus location, you'll be surrounded by hundreds of your very best friends. You know, Kansas Democrats are some of the most friendly people in the country, and you know, I have the pleasure of working with them all the time. And I think that even if you are a little bit shy, show up to your caucus location, the energy in the room is just going to make you understand why you're here and why this is so important for you to be involved. So I'm really excited. Even if you are a little bit nervous, show up, and I'm trust you, you'll get over your nerves when you get there, because it'll be such a great experience.
If our listeners have more questions about where to participate or how to participate, how can they find that out?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is to go to our website, which is www.ksdp.org, or you can call our office. Our office phone number is 785-234-0425. If you have any questions or if you want help finding your caucus location, feel free to call our office or check our website out.
Again, Carrie Gooch is the Executive Director of the Kansas Democratic Party. Carrie, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Just a reminder that the Kansas Democratic caucuses will take place from 1 to 3 o'clock next Saturday across the state. The Kansas Republican caucus will go from 10 to 2 o'clock next Saturday. If you missed my conversation with Republican Party leader Clay Barker at the beginning of this hour, you can listen to it online at our website, kpr.ku.edu. That's Wintergreen for President from the musical Of The I Sing. Coming up, we've got one last political song for the upcoming presidential caucuses in Kansas. But for the rest of this hour, today is the Academy Awards. Like last year, there's been some controversy about this year's Academy Awards, specifically the lack of diversity among award nominees. Director Spike Lee announced he was boycotting the Oscars. A number of others have followed suit, and the controversy has played out on Twitter under the hashtags OscarsSoWhite and OscarsStillSoWhite. Earlier this month, I spoke with Kansas filmmaker Kevin Wilmot about the controversy. Wilmot's latest film is Chi-Raq, which he co-wrote with Spike Lee. He's also the director of CSA, Confederate States of America.
Obviously, things have gotten better on many levels, but the industry is still, and not the Oscars, this is the industry I'm talking about. Because the Oscars being white, you know, that's kind of, you know, disappointing, but it's a reflection of something much deeper, which is the industry and the difficulties you have of telling your story. You know, that's really the problem. And what Spike and others, certainly with Spike, you know, for one thing, he didn't really call for a boycott. It was just that he said he's not going to attend. But the problem is that it's hard to tell your story, and it's hard to get your story told. And, you know, when I would, many meetings I've had in Hollywood where you come in and you have a story that deals with black history, and they say, well, we can't, Amistad didn't do well at the box office, Beloved didn't do well, you know, and they say that black films can't be sold overseas, but rap music, you go to some remote part of the globe somewhere and you're going to hear rap music, you know, And I think it's because they just have not made an effort to learn how to market and sell and kind of embrace this part of the American story. And that's very, very, very frustrating. And sometimes when a movie breaks free and kind of is critically acclaimed or makes some money, then they'll follow that a little bit, you know, with black stories or other stories from minority groups. But as a whole, it's very difficult to get your story told. And that's the real problem in Hollywood. If those stories were being told on a regular basis, then you would have the Oscars, you know? But you've got to have the movies to be nominated. And that's the frustrating part of it for a lot of, you know, black people and others in the industry, is that, you know, they just don't quite get our thing. You know, you see, obviously it's a bigger problem than just minorities, because the problem is, more than anything, they sell the same movie over and over and over again. You know, they just make sequels and sequels and sequels, and you know, Hollywood is just kind of a factory for whatever sold last time, we're going to do it again. So that's the other part of the problem. But it's a frustrating thing.
As an independent filmmaker, how do you feel like that's affected you?
Well, it's hard to sell your films, because they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't see what you're doing is marketable. We can sell this to an audience. They don't know how to sell it. This is the things they tell you. And the reason I am an independent filmmaker is because I got tired of waiting for them to try to figure out. Life is short, and you know, you can't hear no but so often. So that's why I decided to go another way. But yeah, that's been a problem for a long time. I mean, you know, give you examples of, like, when I've had meetings in Hollywood where, you know, I walk into the room and they're clearly surprised that I'm black. Clearly surprised. And it's because not many black people walk into that room. And so if you can't get into the room, and if you can't then have some kind of familiarity in the room and some kind of connection into the room, you're not going to be successful in the room. And I heard Spike the other day mention about the Rooney Rule, which is in football, which is when a coach needs to be hired. The Rooney Rule was made by the Rooney, the guy who was the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He made a rule that he sold to the NFL where they had to interview a minority coach. They had to. It was a rule that they have to, because if they didn't have a rule, it wouldn't happen. And so that's the kind of, see, you know, Hollywood kind of is an industry that has been able to kind of live in its own world outside of the other rules that other industries have to really contend with, you know, affirmative action, quotas, you know, things that can balance out and kind of create some equality in the world. And so I think it's because they think they're hipper than they are, you know, and because they think they're hip, they think that we've got this. But obviously the evidence tells us the exact opposite.
So what's the solution? Is the Rooney Rule the solution?
I think it is. I think things like that you know, I think the studios are in trouble a little bit, because, you know, companies like Amazon, who made our film Chirac, and Netflix and those kind of, you know, they got an old model. It's an old model they're still living in. And they're going to have to figure some things out. And I think if they broke it open and kind of brought some new life into that world and kind of expanded the vision of the world, they could compete with these new upstarts. But I think if they keep trying to hold on to that old way of life, I think they're going to have problems in the future.
One of the things that's surprising about this whole discussion, I think, is that there is such a realization that America is a much more diverse place than we used to acknowledge, and that minority groups are growing.
Right.
Why has Hollywood been so slow to realize that?
Well, I think it's, you know,
I mean, not to put too fine of a point on it, but, you know, black people go to movies too.
Right. We go to movies a lot, especially certain kind of films. Well, I think it's that old model I'm talking about. I think that no one came to them in the 60s and demanded anything from them, you know? And so consequently, I think they think that they're kind of above all of that, and they got that covered. Because they're liberal, they think they're kind of above all that. And the reality of it is that they're not, you know? And the evidence, I mean, the fact that the Academy is 95% white, well, that just tells you that this is a long-standing, you know, specific kind of institution that the 60s kind of flew over and it never landed. And so the changes that most institutions had to make in the 60s that integrated these worlds and brought women and minorities and so forth in them didn't happen. It didn't happen. And so you do see, you know, minorities in the room sometime when you go in to pitch a movie, but those minorities rarely have any power. And that's the other part of the equation. You can have someone of color in a room, but if they can't really, you know, make anything happen, it's kind of pointless.
We're having this discussion right on the heels of your movie, Chirac, which is about a boycott of sorts,
right,
on the streets of Chicago. Going into the Oscars, there's been a number of people who say they're boycotting the Academy Awards. Is that the way to go? Is that...
Well, you know, I think it's nice to get to focus attention on the problem. I don't know if a boycott really, you know, would work here or anything like that. I don't think it really matters all that much. But it's nice to kind of expose the problem. And the problem is not the Oscars. The problem is the industry. And that's the thing that people interested in an issue should know. It's not so much the Oscars. The Oscars is a reflection of the problem in the industry. And that's the thing that needs to change.
Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kevin Wilmott's latest film is Chirac, which he co-wrote with Spike Lee. He also teaches film at the University of Kansas. Just a reminder from the beginning of today's program, the Kansas presidential caucuses will take place next Saturday, March 5th. You can get more information about Saturday's presidential caucuses, including where you can vote, at the party's websites. The Republican Party's website is ksgop.org. The Democratic Party's website is ksdp.org. I'm Kay McIntyre. KPR Presents is a production of Kansas Public Radio at the University of Kansas.
Come on, babe, won't you take a chance? Your papa's gonna show you a brand new dance. And shuffle on down, now don't you be no drag. And do that election year rag. You take two steps to the left and two steps to the right. And then you stand in the middle and you hang on tight. And come on down now, don't you lag. And do that election year rag. And jump on that old bandwagon, here's what we're gonna do. Get down to the precinct captain's house this morning and scarf up some lame duck stew. Well, don't you cry, don't shed no tears. You know it only comes around every 4 years. And I'm your dark horse and you're my nag. Do that election year rag. Like you need a scorecard, well you really don't have to fuss. You know the winner's always somebody else and the loser is always us. And it's shake it to the east, shake it to the west, hand me down my bulletproof vest. It's nobody's choice and it's anybody's guess. And do that election, there ain't no selection. And do that election, you're right.